Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. It's good to be back. Brandon, how are you?
Happy New Year, Josh. Happy New Year, cheaters. It's 2018. I do feel like we were dead at one point over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But we're back. We're back and we're alive.
Yeah, we took kind of an extended break. I was personally a little close to death, I think, at one point in the last. I'm not going to get any kind of detail here, but I had the worst stomach bug the last 8 days. I'm just now able to go out in the light again. And even now I'm not like 100%, but it was, sometimes you get sick and it's like, you're sitting on the couch watching Harry Potter movies, you know, with like an Afghan like pulled up, you know,
are you saying that the magic of the FA Cup is like a Harry Potter movie just right? With all the magic?
Yeah, exactly. You're just watching, Nottingham Forest, play Arsenal or whatever. No, but sometimes you're just like, you know, you're just watching like dumb movies and it's great. And like, you're drinking like cocoa or whatever, like just trying to get healthy, or tea with honey, let's say.
Yeah.
And then other times you're sick and you are laying in your bed, like on your back, looking up, like just looking up, like all you're not even sleeping. You're just sitting there for like 6 hours and you don't even have a thought in your head. You're just like, all you can think about is how bad you feel. And that was me this Saturday. That was also me on Tuesday. I backslid. I've never like backslid on a cold before.
Wow. Are you going to blame your FPL decisions on this illness, Josh?
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going down that road. I'm tempted to. But this will happen after I'd made all my transfers. I wish I could blame it on this. And maybe I was already starting to feel the effects. So apologies to anyone who on the Slack and on Twitter and Facebook. And I'm sort of the primary talker on those forums. And I basically just had to walk away for a few days because I was just so out of it. But thankfully, it was an FA Cup weekend. It was not a bad FA Cup weekend, I suppose.
No, there were a lot of fun games out there, yeah, and there were some real FPL assets that were doing their thing.
Sure. Talk about Van Dijk, and
We're going to answer a few questions about Jesse Lingard coming up, who's still striking like peaches, peaches.
Exactly. So, I guess it's actually been about 2 weeks since we recorded. Everything is good with you, Brandon? What's up with you?
So I need to talk to our listeners here for a second. Feel free to turn off your microphone, Josh.
I'm
isolate the lane for me, and I'm going to go dunk here. My team name, as you all know, my team name in FPL is now the Flint City Patriots. Thanks to our great listener, Jet, who was a wonderful starting 11 opponent. Now, the deal is Jet got to rename my team. He went Flint City Patriots just through the end of 2017. So here we are. It's 2018, and I need a new team name. And, Josh, you've said this a few things on the pod. I'm kind of boring when it comes to my team names. The BK Broilers have been my team basically every year since we've been playing, save last year when I had my homage to the Great British Bake Off, Ian's Baked Alaska.
Right.
So I'm going to put it out to our listeners. There's no competition you have to enter. All you have to do is tweet at us, @HailCheaters. Hit us up with your ideas for what my new team name should be going into 2018, going into Game Week 23. And I'm just going to pick my favorite one.
Now, okay.
If you're a listener of the pod, you know what I like. You know what I don't like. And maybe it's just something that has nothing to do with me. It's what you like. But if I like it, it's going to be my team name. So I'm putting it out there. Tweet at us, and we'll see what happens.
We'll collect those and post them somewhere. I like it. Okay, that sounds good. I think Flint City Patriots, maybe people are just going to vote for you to keep that because that's a very solid team name.
It is a solid team name, and it's done me well. My December run was my best of the season.
Yeah, one of the best of your FPL time, I would say. I mean, our fortunes could not have swapped more. I mean, everything went wrong as everything went right for you. And I don't really want to talk about my festive fixture run at all. Other than I'll say that I dropped about 100,000 spots. I'm 128K in the world after getting into the top 20K. Every move I made backfired catastrophically.
Every move you made.
I was very negative in the last podcast. I'm not going to be negative now. It was about as close as I've ever come to just quitting. I will say that much. I had a moment like 2 weeks ago where I thought, you know what? I just don't need this at all. You know, I think you and I actually talked about that. Like the fact, like The festive fixtures were almost too much, I think, this year. It was
they were very trolly this year, I thought.
Yeah, they were very trolly, and, you know, with things being even more compressed because, you know, the World Cup is coming up, and so they had to fit even more fixtures in this window. It was just, as an FA, you know, if you were a manager and your moves didn't work out, it was just like unrelenting torture, yeah. Was sort of how I felt. And I just thought, you know, why am I so miserable? And so anyway, I kind of came out the other side, and now I'm just going to have, like, I have more perspective on things.
Well, here, like, this will
a reminder that it's just a game, right? I mean, it's a game that we take seriously, and we have a podcast about it. But ultimately, like, I have your real life, right? Like, a, like, proper life with, like, yeah. work and family and friends. And yeah. then I have this game that I enjoy, and I still enjoy the game. So, you know, whatever. It's not that – it's not even that bad of a season. 128K is – perfectly yeah. fine. I can still come back from that.
It was yeah. a huge December for me, not just with my FPL, our team and our mini leagues, but I actually went as far in the FPL Cup as I ever have. I actually just lost in game week 22 by 2 points to this guy. He's not necessarily on a dead team, but he just didn't set his team, and I lost by 2 points. He had captained Mo Salah, but he vice-captained Harry Kane. So the Harry Kane double on the captaincy, even though he did nothing, put my opponent over me by 2 points.
Yeah.
There I am, bumped out of the cup. So woe is me.
It was amazing. I mean, this double game week was set up to reward serious FPL managers, right? Like, with that one-day turnaround between fixtures, like, you had to set your team, you had to make your transfer, you had to be all set up. You know, if you aren't taking the game that seriously, like, this is when you were going to fall back. And then it turned out to be completely irrelevant. Like, basically, no one delivered for West Ham outside of Andy Carroll, right? Who no one really wanted to bring in because he wasn't going to start both games, right? Like, I don't want to burn a transfer on Andy Carroll just for the home match against West Brom. I mean, if you did, like, bravo. But, like, yeah. you know, it was 2 second-half goals. I mean,
you're telling me you didn't think for a second to bring in Pedro Obiang?
Right, exactly, Obiang. I did bring Masuaku, which I almost, like, looked into a sneaky clean sheet in the Spurs game. That was a little bit of a heartbreaker, actually, to lose that one.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, Masuaku looks great. I mean, I'm not sure, and we are going to talk about how to steer out of this sort of tragic double game week. But if he didn't play for West Ham, maybe Masuaku would be one just to hang on to.
Well, I'm not, like, dying to drop him, right? I mean, you know, we'll get to this in a minute, but, you know, Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Brighton in his next four. I mean, it's possible to keep two clean sheets in four of those, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, they almost got a clean sheet at Wembley, so I don't know. It's I don't have a read on this West Ham defense right now. Like, are they bad or are they really bad? I can't decide.
I just want to say one quick thing to hopefully just, like, further cheer you up, Josh.
Sure.
You mentioned this at the start. We talked about it a little bit last week. As my fortune goes this way, yours goes that way. And I said last pod, why can't we just have a point in which we both win? And guess what? Through 22 game weeks, I have 1,253 points. Josh, you also have 1,253 points. Is that coincidence, or is that just because we do a weekly fantasy pod together?
I don't know. That is interesting, though, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Is that true? Wow.
Yeah, we're on the same points. I think I'm just ahead of you in overall rank. I'm at 128, 281, and I think that might be because I've made one or two fewer transfers than you.
Okay, gotcha. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, and we're actually tied in our head-to-head, too, because we started that we started it in game week two, right? So I think we're tied 11 each in that as well. So
no, we're not tied. I'm actually up on you by 3 points in our head-to-head.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
sorry to bring you back down to earth.
No, that's fine. I can handle it.
Now, I know because I know you're probably saying we're tied because if push comes to shove at the end of this season, you're going to pull the card that we started a week late and you steamrolled me in game week one. And that's sort of a ghost three-pointer for you.
I may have to, but let's. I think we actually. I decided early on this season. I think I said it's overall points, not points since game week two, that we would use as our tiebreaker. So
okay.
I think you agreed to this as well.
Yeah, I did.
Go back into the record. So it was a long holiday fix. We have a question here from M. Bison. He says, "What is the biggest lesson you've learned from the first 22 game weeks of the season? I'm looking for something that would be particularly useful and conducive to a big fat slice of points as we approach the business end of the season."
Yeah, that's really the great question that we're all here for, right? Like, what can I do? And right. There
people
are some
downloaded this podcast, Brandon. They're yeah. They're waiting to hear your answer.
There were a few other questions out there that wasn't able to slot into the running order, but we're kind of, even though we're a couple game weeks beyond the midpoint of the season, people are still out there saying, okay, we're halfway through the season and I'm 100, 200 points behind my mini league leader. Is right. there any hope for me to catch up? What should my goals be for the end of the season? Should I just focus on head-to-head, or is there still a chance for me to make up that ground? I mean, I made up 90 points on you, Josh. I mean, we're still trailing in our money league, but yeah. we'd consider each other pretty formidable rivals. I made up 90 points on you in the span of a month, so I think we're still a long ways out from the end game. I think there's a lot yeah. of time for people to write the ship.
What you just said, I think, hints at is you have to find a mini rivalry within your league, or I'm a big fan of, you can start a league at any point, so you could start, we have a second half league that we started for Patreon supporters. If you wanted, you and a friend can start a league that just starts in game week 23, right? Like just a brand new league. All your points just start fresh starting in game week 23. Maybe you just cut bait entirely. I mean, can you make up 100 points? For sure. 200, I don't think you could, because anyone who's up 200 points on you is probably a very good manager.
Sure, they're probably going to at least make half the genius moves that you would have to also make to catch
right.
them.
Exactly. I mean, that was why it was, we have a couple managers in our league right now who are doing extremely well. And, something like a Sun's goal at the end of the double game week was such a a body blow for me, because I had Masuaku and they both have Sun. And so it was effectively a 12-point swing, in the final 5 minutes of a game week. And it's just like, wow, that's just 12 more points to make up. It's just that it just gets that much harder. I'm really thinking, I'm definitely leaning towards focusing on the head-to-head a little more. Okay, so we've got, so here's one takeaway, is that if you've held on to all your chips, and you still haven't played your wild card, we've got 16 weeks left in the season. I'm not planning to use my wild card going into this game week, right? Or any of mm-hmm. my chips. So after that, we've got 15 game weeks left, right?
Yeah.
Four of those 15 game weeks are chip game weeks, right?
Yep.
It's what is it, 28%? If you include this upcoming game week, it's 25%, right? Four out of 16 game weeks, you've got a chip to use. There's lots of opportunities to make up points. And, you just have to be a little more strategic. I would advocate for an early wild card if you're down a lot. I think it makes sense to I would wait until all the transfers are over. But, let's say Alexis Sanchez goes to Arsenal, maybe
Man City. He's already at Arsenal.
Right. Sorry. Of course, Man City. Maybe you look at, a really just an aggressive Sanchez transfer. Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe you go the other way. Right. And you go all in on, I don't know, who's even going to score at Arsenal if he goes Mesut Ozil or something.
Right.
I do think you have to cover yourself. You have to have people like Mo Salah and Harry Kane. Maybe not even Harry. Well, I think probably Harry Kane, right? I think he's earned that. I mean, back-to-back hat tricks, he's probably earned.
Yeah, I don't think we want to go down that road, Josh. Harry, I think we, I don't know that pods yeah. have to be branded in this way, but this is a pro Harry Kane podcast.
Right. Okay, so let's say outside of Salah and Kane, are there two players that you absolutely have to have in your team in order to stay competitive?
I generally don't. Well, Sterling. I think Raheem Sterling has to go into that conversation.
Yeah, for now.
And
for now. Yeah.
You could say for now, but he's been doing what he's been doing for
I just say for now because if Sanchez goes to City, I think you'll have to reevaluate Sterling a little bit.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk quite a bit about what these already made transfer moves in the window will have on our teams,
and
what the hypothetical ones might do as well. So we'll talk. Right. Let's say that Sanchez talk for a little bit later. But I do agree with you, and just to cap M. Bison's question here. Looking to cover yourself, but also you're just going to need to get a differential. And this is the point at which teams in the league are getting reshuffled, and there will be new star players that are going to come to light in all likelihood.
Exactly. If your starting 11 features 9 out of the same 11 players or 10 of the same 11 players as the manager has never won in your mini league, you can't overtake them. So focus on the players that are essential that you need to have, and then try to get differentials elsewhere. You know, I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, there's a ton of players who there are more scoring players out there that you can realistically have in your team. So even though it may not seem that way, because the groupthink makes it seem like you have to have X, Y, and Z, it's really not that way. So. And you can't get it all back in one game week either. That's, I think, an important thing to remember. It's got
patience, grasshopper.
Exactly. 10 points a game week, right? That just, you know, 10 points here, 10 points there. That would be more than enough to pick up the ground.
Speaking of patience, Josh, I'm going to segue into the Always Cheating Super League, because last week the top 10 had to wait for their mention. We skipped the top 10 last week. Here we are going to run through top 10 of the Always Cheating Super League after game week 22. From 10th place, Clichy's Clean Sheets, Fabio Borges, slipping down the ranks. Come on, Fabio, get it together. 9th place, Scorpions, that's Leopoli. Wow, what a name. Leopoloio, like, I really apologize, man, but Scorpions is right there in 9th place. 8th place, heating up, Aaron Matheson. 7th place, Joe Stone. Joe Stone mentioned us on social media, saying he finally cracked. Sorry, Josh, that was one for you. He crapped the top 10. Joe cracked the top 10 last week, missed his mention. So here it is. Joe actually stayed in the top 10 to be sure he got his pod mention. And I love this team name, for Fuchs Ake Ayu Blind. Beautiful poetry right there. 6th place, Gamchester United, Graham McDonald's squad. 5th place, Bob Fascio, Abdul Hussein. 4th place, Football Friend FC, Nick Tudhope. 3rd place, Marco Reyn's squad, The Art of the Dive. 2nd place, Crazy Coutinho, Prakhar Patel, who slipped from 1st place last week. And number 1 after game week 22, it's Andrew Ferguson's 2 girls, 1 schlup. Andrew right now is 78th. Overall in the world with 1,411 points. Good on you, Andrew. Josh, is it too late to join the Super League?
It is not too late to join the Super League, Brandon. Anybody can do it. It's free to do. Just go to alwayscheating.com. You can also find Super League links and auto links, if that's the right term.
If you're too lazy to type in the code, we got an auto join button right there for you at alwayscheating.com.
Exactly. It's also on our Twitter page and our Facebook page. You can also join our second half league, which is exclusive to our Patreon supporters. And, you know, we have a ton of Patreon supporters that joined in December. We actually have even more that have joined in January. And so we need to properly thank them on the podcast. So maybe at the end of an upcoming podcast, we're just going to someone's got to do it. Someone's got to listen in at the end of the podcast and just pay tribute to all of the.
How about we just have all 50 of them on the podcast at once, and we can all just
all talk at once, like maybe all talk out loud, like 30 Helens Agree from
Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall. Yeah, exactly.
great sketch.
Yep. So they can join our second half league there. They can also join our the Always Cheating Slack, which has been remarkably active. And once again, I'm sorry to the people I'd like to chat with on Slack. I've been just totally absent the last few days as I recover from this stomach bug. But tons of people on there. It's a great place to chat. And there's been a lot of great transfer talk on there. I feel like I've actually a lot of what I've learned about some of the new transfers I've learned from our Slack forum. So definitely another shout out there. And that's patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can join that.
Awesome. All right. Lots to talk about in this episode. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about those January transfer moves, the ones that are already done and the ones that are kind of hypothetical at this moment. A few questions about team structure and formation and what we're doing with our money heading into the second half of the season. We have a lightning round with your questions, and we're going to get to a quick Game Week 23 preview with captains and transfer talk. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. Same old podcast,
always cheating. Brandon, and we're back. Part one, The Boys of 2018. I like that. I like that title you gave this section.
I mean, who doesn't have the song The Boys of Summer in their head at least once a day? Not me.
How often do I have that song in my head? I have it in my head, every 2 weeks for sure. I would say there are, 26 times a year I have that song in my head.
Quick aside, non-FBL talk, but part of my job involves making little 15-second, video ads. And I ran this ad by somebody for approval, and they said, the music isn't quite right. Could we have something that's like the opening guitar riff from The Boys of Summer? And it was the most infuriating email because I was like, how can you replicate... I mean, if you listen to that opening guitar riff, it's pretty awesome, and it's not very replicatable. So this is just me saying the opening of Boys in Summer is the best, and you can't repeat it. So mic drop.
That's excellent. Coutinho to Barcelona. Jack on Slack, Mike McCauley on Twitter, Razzy Boy on Twitter all have questions about Coutinho moving to Barcelona and how it's going to affect Mo Salah.
I also want to throw Firmino in there. So let's talk about
the Salah. Racist.
Yeah, okay. Not proven. I mean, listen, it is the weirdest thing, right? I mean, FPL or... like fantasy sports does crazy things to people. Like when bad things happen to real people, like there's a terrible leg break injury, somehow social media becomes all about one's fantasy team instead of their livelihood. Sure, also, when Firmino may or may not have done something that's racist, suddenly there is a divide in the fantasy world of, well, he's definitely not racist, or he definitely is. And you can see where that dividing line is. It's people who have Firmino on their team and people who don't. Now, I'm not accusing anyone out there, obviously, of being a racist, but I think that's just a funny thing that you can kind of see percolating out there.
Sure. I mean, in my experience, when players come out and say that someone was really racist to them, like, it's basically always true. So it's possible that he wasn't, or that he was being jokey, kind of like the way Luis Suarez was with Patrice Evra, right. I'm sort of like, I'm just, unlike you, I'm not as tolerant of racism. And so, no, I'm just kidding. Let's not talk about this. Let's not speculate blindly on how racist Firmino is. It'll come out one way or the other. I'll just say, I would believe it. Okay.
There was a really interesting discussion going on the FPL Reddit page, which we heartily recommend. There's a link to it on osgenie.com if you're not already familiar. But there were some straight up like Portuguese speaking lip readers on there who are like, this is what he said. He basically said, are you crazy? Are you crazy? You like son of a bleep or something like this. But apparently what is being debated is what he actually subsequently said after that, like after Lallana got involved.
The most like Reddit thing ever is to like incorrectly lip read something and then make like a conclusion about it.
Yeah, let's have like those bad lip reading videos out there that was like tomatoes in Portuguese sound fun with the whale dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, anyway, let's talk about what we're actually talking about.
Sorry, totally sidetracked here.
Coutinho, a great playmaker in the Liverpool midfield, of many great playmakers, is now gone. Do you feel like this is going to adversely impact Salah, or is it good for Salah?
Well,
or is it neither? Because we have a small sample size or a medium sample size this season of Coutinho not being in the squad or coming on as a substitute.
It doesn't seem as though it made a big difference. There's not like overwhelming evidence that Salah played significantly worse without Coutinho. I don't think it's better. I don't think that when you take a high quality attacking player out of a squad, it it typically helps the other player, especially a player like Salah. I mean, it's not like, you know, someone like Sanchez, it doesn't really matter because he's on the ball so much. But, you know, Salah works off the ball most of the time, you know. Yeah. So Coutinho's on the ball. It's going to allow more players to cover Salah, right? I mean, yeah. I don't think he'll be able to get in and unmarked as easily as he was before. I don't know that it doesn't make Salah any less essential. I don't even know if it makes him any worse of a captain option. But yeah, I guess it does give me a little bit of pause, right?
It is something to think about. I think I agree with you. It's something to make you go, what you can say about Liverpool early this season when Coutinho was not in the team, they were still scoring goals. Whether or not Liverpool looked like the best possible Liverpool that you could have from their full squad, debatable, but they were still scoring at least one to two goals per game, and Salah was contributing in that regard. I have no doubt that Salah will continue contributing. I think there was some debate of how sustainable Salah's production was, and I do think that regardless of Coutinho coming or staying or leaving, you might see some dip in Salah's production up to game week 38, because the guy is just in such great form. But that said, yeah, he's still a must have, and I think we're still going to get great FPL production from him.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Sadio Mane is probably a player who's going to benefit from this a little bit. He's going to have to step up.
It's a good point. Yeah.
9.3 million. He's relatively affordable. I mean, he's pretty expensive for a guy who, you know, hasn't really done very much at all in the last 10 weeks or so. He did score away in the Burnley match. Actually, he picked up an assist the game week before. So maybe he's rounding into form a little bit. You know, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, I just don't rate him as much of a goal scorer or an assist guy. And my opinion doesn't change based on Saul leaving. He's just not, you know, he's just not a player. Even at 5.6 million, I think he's too expensive. If he was 4.8, then I would consider him.
Yeah.
But I just don't rate him at 5.6.
So here's your hot take. So Coutinho goes, what do we know Coutinho for throughout his tenure at Liverpool? He loves shooting from about 35, 40, 50 yards out.
Right.
And that while he's great at shooting from 100 yards out, maybe 200 yards out, he's really good at it. That is one less time that he's trying to slide the ball in for Salah or Firmino. So I do wonder if you have a guy that's not Coutinho on the ball, whoever's playing in that number 10 role is maybe looking for Salah and Firmino a bit more. That is something I'll be looking for, not guaranteed. But I do wonder if that is something that is keep the faith with Firmino.
Yeah, I mean, I guess neither of us wanted to say, like, wait and see, because that's sort of the boring answer. But I think that, you know, I mean, Klopp has a system. That's a system that we've seen at Dortmund has survived a lot of changes, right? It was still a great attack inside, even as they lost, you know, you know, Mario Götze and Lewandowski, and, you know, and they were still, you know,
Shinji Kagawa.
Until the very end, you know, they were still super high quality. So, I think they'll be okay. I mean, Adam Lallana is one to watch out for. I don't even know if he's healthy yet.
Healthy. I mean, he's come on as a substitute. I don't quite recall if he started the FA Cup match, but as we know from Firmino gate.
Yeah.
But I agree. I mean, at one point, Lallana last season was the cheap route into that offense when Firmino, Coutinho, and Mane were flying. If you could only afford Lallana, you're getting some money or
eight goals, seven assists, 14 bonus points last year. Price is 7.3 million. That 7 million point price range is kind of a tricky range, I find. It's hard to. It's almost easier to have players in the 5 million range than the 8 million range. There's something about that, like 7 million, it feels like you want to put your money elsewhere usually. But I think Lallana's an option. And I don't know if there's anyone else looking at their midfield who everyone else seems so rotation prone. I mean, Wijnaldum isn't enough of an attacker. Emre Can is sort of in and out of the side. But I think Salah will be fine.
Anybody else you want to throw Jordan Henderson into the mix there while we're talking about it?
Exactly.
All right, speaking of Liverpool players, Virgil van Dijk, now a Liverpool man, 5.4 million, 3.5% owned. I think everyone was sort of just waiting, all FPL managers were waiting for this move to happen so they could get in, because, you know, Southampton defense has been a bit of a shambles this season. Scored on his debut in the FA Cup. Looking at Liverpool's run of fixtures coming up, they have City in game week 23, not ideal for obvious reasons. Then it's Swansea and Huddersfield away, Spurs in game week 26, and then the fixtures turn again, Southampton. Any temptation here? I mean, you would expect Van Dijk to be totally nailed, and as he demonstrated in his debut, he's a goal scorer on set pieces.
Yeah, not right away. I love Van Dijk as a player. I even like him as a fantasy player, and I don't think he's too expensive at 5.4 million. I still don't totally trust this Liverpool defense. I mean, I don't know. Are you tempted? What do you think?
I agree. I mean, Liverpool has never been known for great defense. I think the only time we've ever brought Liverpool defenders in is for their scoring potential, and I think given how Robertson and Alexander-Arnold and Gomez and these guys, even though they're rotation prone, are really cheap, and I see more attacking points coming from the likes of them. So if I can't bank on a clean sheet from Liverpool, I'm not going to pay 5.4 for Van Dijk. So it's a pass for me.
With City and Spurs in two of the next four fixtures, I mean, they're going to probably concede like three goals at home to City. I mean, they might win 4-3, but they're probably going to concede a bunch of goals there. I feel very confident that Spurs will score a few goals on them in game week 26 as well. So then it's sandwiched around two away fixtures, and you know, it's entirely possible that Swansea could pop in a goal on the, you know, they're playing a little bit better. Or Huddersfield, kind of the same thing. They're pretty decent in set pieces.
Give me a Liverpool team that has a decent goalkeeper, and then we can talk Van Dijk. That's kind of where I'm at.
A curious fan, Brandon.
We're going all the way across the Merseyside, Josh, to Everton and the hashtag Turkish delight. Sanktosin comes to us from Beşiktaş in Turkey. 7.5 million priced in the game. What do we know about Tosin so far?
Well, we know that he is he's from Beşiktaş. I think I said that correctly. Scored 24 goals during the league last season. He is, you know, I think the jury is a little bit out on him, right? He's 7.5 million. Is he going to start right away? I don't know. Probably pretty soon.
This guy is more of a problem than he is a gift for FPL. He's a problem because everyone's favorite cheapie, Calvert-Lewin, is now going to be at best pushed out wide. Maybe that's not such a bad thing for Calvert-Lewin because he does have pace. And early in the season, he was getting great output by supplying Wayne Rooney, of all people, with assists. Right. So maybe you get some sort of chemistry between Calvert-Lewin and Tosin. That could be good. I'm just looking for a reason to not have to.
It seems unlikely, doesn't it? I have a hard time envisioning the sink Tosin, Calvert-Lewin. Like,
doesn't really roll off the tongue, does
partnership.
It?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Tosin, too, is that he's already played, he's played 24 matches already this season. So there's no match fitness issue with him. It's not like he needs to get himself into gear. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it may take a little while for him to fit into that squad. But I mean, you know, if we focus this more on Calvert-Lewin for a minute, I mean, part of the problem, too, is that we're seeing Sam Allardyce is just like he's been so negative with his tactics so far.
Come out in the press and said as much, like, I cannot win games with Calvert-Lewin playing in the number nine position. And right. That's not going to do anything for DCL's confidence.
Right. It's also probably true.
Yeah, no, and I can't argue with that. This is, again, going back to our discussion of FPL brains kicking into gear, and then we become completely separated from reality. But, yeah, like playing 90 minutes a match game week 13 through 19, and then it goes 60-53, and then just 9 minutes in game week 22, perhaps that's some rest. And again, maybe the squad formation takes a different shape and there is room for Calvert-Lewin playing out wide, but immediate signs point to they really need a different striker. So Tosin's coming in right away, and DCL is just like straight up bench fodder for real this time.
Yeah, and the market for third forwards is pretty grim. I mean, you're looking at... I didn't even know what you're looking at. I mean, it's not fun. You're looking at Depotra. You're looking at Ayu, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, Ayu actually, like, Jordan and I, we've been kind of, it feels like a joke, but I mean, he you have to consider him as a real option.
I suppose there is a bit of Ayu that is, he seems like a very emotional player, and of course he's going to step it up when the new manager arrives, but how long does that last? And I'm not convinced at all.
I think Glenn Murray is actually a player to look at. He's, you know, 5.7. The fixtures have settled down again. I mean, he wasn't going to play every single game week, while they were, I mean, he's like, what, 34 years old or something like that. He wasn't going to play when they had all the festive fixtures, but I think he's, you know, there's a possibility there. I think Callum Wilson, right, is an option right now. Especially with Jermaine Defoe out.
I guess this is depressing. I mean, shout out to Niall Parker, who actually asked us about Tosin with the hashtag Turkish Delight. He does ask if at 7.5 he's the answer to our mid-price striker woes. I still feel like you're right, Josh. Like it's just the bare minimum below 8.5. There's just nothing you can count on. I feel like you're either going, and we're going to talk a bit about formations coming up, you're either going full on lone striker with the likes of Kane or Aguero now, or you have to pair Kane with somebody like Firmino or Vardy, not necessarily, but I think you know what I mean. So yeah. You have to wait and see with Tosin. It would be fun if I could save like 1.5 million and downgrade Firmino to Tosin if the time comes.
It would be fun, but yeah, I think right now it's ideally you're just not playing, unless you've got like three heavy hitters up front, you're just not playing three forwards consistently, and that third slot is, you know, if you have Calvert-Lewin, you probably want to drop him at some point. I certainly wouldn't like wildcard him in right now. But he's like probably like my second bench player most game weeks right now. So it doesn't feel super urgent. It just feels like a problem I have to solve eventually.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I'm taking the same approach with DCL. Let's put him on the bench, figure it out later, maybe when you play your wild card. I would suspect a lot of managers might take the same tack. I would ride out one or two price drops. A lot of us probably bought him around 5.0, and I think you can stomach one or two price drops with him until an answer actually comes to light. All right, let's round this transfer talk with just two hypothetical transfers, Alexis Sanchez and Riyad Mahrez. Alexis Sanchez moved to Man City, seems to get closer with every waking hour. And Riyad,
maybe
it does. There is a lot of what is the signal? What is the noise, Josh? It's hard to say. And
it's
then
true.
Riyad Mahrez linked with Liverpool and maybe even linked with Arsenal if Alexis actually does make that move to Man City. So let's talk real quick about how appealing Alexis is if he goes to Man City, and of course how unappealing some people at Man City might become.
Right.
And
I mean, just to start with Alexis then, you know, I think it's super unappealing from an FPL perspective if he goes to Man City for so many reasons. I mean, one is it moves one of those forwards. It just makes every single, you know, midfielder who attacks liable to, you know, be used like in rotation more often. Or, I mean, Alexis is like the consummate ball hog, right? Like nobody wants to be on the ball more than Alexis. He doesn't really, you know, he sort of like picks his favorites to pass to. He always screams for the ball.
Well, this
every
is
time
him on Arsenal, where he's just like, it's the inmates running the asylum there at Arsenal.
Yeah, but isn't this how he like got his way? Like he like forced his way out of Barcelona for like this very reason, right? So,
well, Pep Guardiola team. So I don't think Pep's going to make the same mistake
twice.
That's what
I don't understand. That's why I'm puzzled by this, because maybe the idea of why he left was wrong, but. I think, just strictly from an FPL perspective then, too, just his price makes him very difficult to bring
in. His price is insane.
his price is insane, and it makes it way too hard for you to bring him in if he goes to Man City, because is he going to play every game? I don't know. Is he going to score more goals than other players who are already scoring goals? Like, who knows? Like, is he going to be on penalties? Probably not.
No.
Does he rotate with Aguero? Maybe.
No, my assumption is that he's coming in. Leroy Sané is the first one to hit the bench when Sanchez arrives.
Sure.
Sané
sure.
will become just the consummate sub now. If Alexis ever gets subbed. So maybe we never see Leroy Sané again. But Sanchez likes playing on the left, and that's where Sané is. I don't think I can't see it impacting Sterling and De Bruyne, even Aguero. I don't think he's being brought in to play a number nine role.
Well, that's the question. I mean, if it is more of a straight swap for Sané, then that's fair. And I think you are right, but he can play in different spots, and he can play as a forward too, for sure. So, and they may need a forward, right? I mean, depending on how long Jesus is out.
Yeah. Well, and James Clugden's on Twitter asks, impact of Sanchez on Aguero. So you're saying that, okay, so if Jesus remains out injured long term, as he basically is, Aguero's kind of locked in that number nine position. Sanchez could rotate with him, but I could see it in a different way in that it makes Aguero slightly more appealing. And I find it hard
you know, yeah, I don't want to spend too long on the Sanchez thing because, I mean, who knows if he's even going to go there. I mean, I find it hard to believe that I think Arsenal probably do want to get some kind of return on him. I mean, their like transfer business has been so shambolic the last 12 months. It's embarrassing, but you know, I they need to get some kind of return on him, or they're just going to lose him and Ozil this summer, which maybe they're okay with. I mean, the reason to keep Sanchez would be if they thought they could get a Champions League spot, which they probably can't get without him. And if they get Champions League spot, they get Champions League money, and that money is more than they would get for selling Sanchez in January.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's the assessment that they have to make right now. I don't think it's so much about if they can bring in Thomas Lamar or whatever. It's about whether they can get fourth place, or I guess win the Europa League, right? And pull a Man United. So if they can do that, then
you can win
keep
the
Sanchez.
FA Cup, Arsenal. But that's pretty much the your ceiling.
They can't anymore. They're out.
that's true. Oh God. So much bad news for Gunners out there.
Right now. Yeah. So we'll talk about this more if it actually happens. What about Riyad Mahrez?
Mahrez, it's very interesting. He's definitely put himself in the shop window the last month. He's just been in great form for Leicester. You do feel like he was kind of playing for a move. And if he goes to Liverpool, can you pair
silence?
I know. I just tried to calculate an 8.6 million price tag on Mahrez, and how does that compare with presumably your most definitely owning Mo Salah? So the question here is: does Mahrez take the place in your FPL lineup of Salah, of maybe Mane or Coutinho? If you had Coutinho in your squad right now and no Salah, would you consider replacing Coutinho with Mahrez over Salah or Mane? I guess the more interesting question is, would you go Mane or Mahrez in this hypothetical?
If I were,
if you had Coutinho
as a fantasy manager,
as an FPL manager, not Jurgen Klopp.
I guess I would go Mane, just because I think the potential for double digit returns is a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think. Mahrez might be a little more consistent. It sort of depends on where you are in your mini league, you know, what you're playing for. I think the more conservative move is Mahrez. The thing about Mahrez too is he's not really a central midfielder. He's really more of a right wing, you know? And so it is weird to think about how he's going to slot into that team if he moved to Liverpool. Like, it seems like they don't really solve their central midfielder problem with him.
What if he moves to Arsenal? And he's cheaper than Ozil.
Right. Yeah. And then I guess they...
he could play...
Yeah, they would have to move somebody to the right, right? Maybe they play Danny Welbeck over there or something.
But I think at Arsenal, he could even play in a more natural position out to the right, because they have plenty of plenty of warm bodies. Like Wilshere is coming back into the team now, who can play more centrally and free Mahrez a little bit up to do his thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't really, you know, it's funny about Mahrez too. I mean, I feel like he was so washed up. It was like everyone kind of knew his move, you know, his kind of like
his Robin-esque move.
Our little Aryan Robin, you know, cut in on the left, you know, shoot with his left foot. But, you know, it seems like he's a much better playmaker this year. I mean, the way he's linked up with Vardy has been really impressive. And I don't know, you know, I like, it makes sense for him to move. I mean, he's still pretty young. You know, he's 26, he'll turn 27 in February. You know, like for a player in that kind of position, that's still pretty young. So I think, yeah, I'm all for a Mahrez move. And I actually think, you know, there's an argument for bringing him in even if he doesn't move.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
He's just in such good form right now.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's look at Leicester's fixtures coming up. They have Chelsea in game week 23. Then it's Watford, Everton, Swansea. That's a great run. So yeah, I guess we kind of prefer it if he stays at Leicester, and then we bring him in. All right, so that's your lot for the January transfers. I'm sure there are more to come, and we'll keep you posted here on Always Cheating. Where you probably hear all your transfer news first when you fire up the Always Cheating podcast. Nobody reads the internet anymore.
That's true. We're reading the internet for you since 2011.
Excellent. So we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, we've got a lightning round that features some questions about team structure, Jesse Lingard, what are we doing after this crazy double game week that we just had, et cetera, et cetera. So stay tuned for that.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Brian, we're back. Before we get any further, starting 11 Daily Fantasy. We talked about them a little bit at the top of the podcast. A daily fantasy app. I played this actually quite a bit over the holidays. I did about as well in that as I did in my FPL
you
team.
You used to be unbeatable at starting 11.
I got too cocky. I flew too close to the sun.
Well, serves you right, frankly.
Brandon, starting 11 is fun for a lot of reasons, but here is a reason we haven't talked about before. There are a lot of people in the FPL community, and I'm thinking about the FPL, the fantasy football pundits guys, and I'm thinking about FPL Chief, particularly if you're on Twitter. If you're a Twitter person at all, or if you're interested in being on Twitter a little more often, some of the
say you're the president. Best,
say you're the president. There are a lot of voices in the FPL community who are all about starting 11 as well, and they're constantly posting their teams, and they're looking at other people's teams, and they're often making fun of them in a way that I enjoy, because I don't mind being made fun of, and I like making fun of other people's teams.
Thick skin, Josh Landon over here.
That's true. The thinnest skin man in the world. But I still enjoy it. So starting 11 is a daily fantasy app, but it's also a way for you to interact with a lot of people that you might not otherwise have a chance to interact with. And all of these people, including ourselves, have weekend contests that they set up, head-to-head contests and group contests. And Brian, why don't we tell them a little bit more about the app itself?
Absolutely. So the Starting 11 app, it's available for your iPhone or your Android phone. Just go to those respective stores and search Starting 11 Daily Fantasy. Pops right up. Download. You set up an account. Takes you like 1 second. The amount of time it takes Philippe Coutinho to decide he's going to shoot from 5,000 yards out, that's how long it takes right. You to set up this app.
And the amount of time it took him to decide to leave Liverpool for Barcelona.
Yeah, exactly. There he was like, what's the temperature? How much? How sunny is it?
I know.
Delightful. It's beautiful in Barcelona, just like the Starting 11 app is. It's beautifully designed, but what makes it really unique is you can play any day in which there are at least two or more Premier League games happening. There's no budget, so you can pick any Starting 11 you want. None of these barriers that the bloody FPL game sets up for you. And you can make live in-game substitutions. So when De Bruyne has what appears to be a leg-breaking challenge happen, you can immediately sub him out and bring in somebody else into your Starting 11 team and start accumulating points for them. You are a manager while you're playing Starting 11, which is really awesome. So go to starting11.io for more information. There are helpful video tutorials there to show you what the app is all about. And you can also just hit the download links right there at starting11.io. And as Josh said, if you want to play Starting 11 head-to-head with me or Josh, just hit us up with a DM on Twitter or Facebook. Email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com, and we'll look forward to playing Starting 11 with you.
Starting this Saturday, we'll be playing.
Excellent.
Brandon, we're on to the lightning round. Let's get right into it. As everybody knows, lightning round, each question gets an answer 30 seconds or less. Starting with a question from Slack, it's Harbuzi. He says, financial structure moving forward means it's Kane or Aguero for me. So which one? I'll be dumping Morata after Leicester. Any issue with that?
So not to abuse our 30 seconds here, but we did get a lot of questions all over social for this podcast about what is our team structure moving forward? Where are we moving our money going into the second half of the season? Loan expensive premium striker, or do we need to pair somebody with Kane? If you do loan striker, are you moving all your money into a stacked midfield? So I think we can sort of use that thinking to help us answer this question. Kane is the easy answer here, Harbuzi. Aguero, there are still too many question marks for me. Even though Jesus is out injured, as we were talking about in our Alexis Sanchez discussion, there are some moving pieces there. And even though Aguero is the lone fit striker at Man City right now, still doesn't guarantee in a Guardiola team that he's playing game week in, game week out. So Kane is just locked in for me. I think you'd say the same, Josh. And
yeah, just things like the back-to-back hat tricks with Kane. It's just the propensity for that to happen is just a little. It's just a little stronger with him. There's just so many attacking options at Man City that it's not quite as likely. And I think Aguero's looked a little off the pace all year. I mean, I know that he's scored a fair number of goals, but you know, a lot of them have been from penalties. And I actually think that Morata to Aguero is a perfectly reasonable move. I don't want to sound like I'm slagging off Aguero too much, but just yeah, compared to Kane, I feel like it's a no brainer.
Yeah, for sure.
Even with that 1.3 million savings or whatever it is.
So how are you feeling? We've answered your question in 30 seconds or less, Harbuzi. Thank you. Thank you for playing. See you next week. Josh, moving on to the next question, which is mine. So how are you feeling about discussions of I'm just going to play Kane up top? I've got the likes of Calvert-Lewin, Glenn Murray, Deportra, who are going to ride the bench for me, except for exceptional fixtures. Is that?
I don't love it. I mean, only one striker. I just feel like, just with rotation, like one of those bad strikers is going to come off the bench like every game week, right? And I don't know. A one striker formation has never been anything I could keep up for any length of time.
Yeah. The argument there, I think, is maybe less investment in your midfield, but you actually get to spend money in your defense. I mean, one guy that we haven't really talked about at all on this podcast who's really come to the front of our minds over the last month is Alonso at Chelsea.
Right. Sure.
7.2, 7.3 million as of this writing. And to do moves like that, you have to start looking at really taking money out of your front line. So
that's true. I mean, I think it's perfectly reasonable to have a 4.5 million third forward. I just don't know that I would have. I mean, I think, you know, you can have Kane and Firmino like you do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go too super cheap forwards. It just feels like you're not giving yourself enough chance to pick up attacking returns. Some people disagree. I feel like that kind of my squad balance is a little too weak if I have that kind of really weak forward line.
All right, so Mr. Podge on Twitter asks, because we were just speaking of this man, speak of the devil, right, Josh? Mm-hmm. Mr. Podge asks, is it essential to dump Morata? He's dead weight, right? So after that, like, ridiculous performance against Arsenal, which I'm sure you were just punching yourself in the face watching that game.
It was horrible. Yeah, it was true. And I was actually homesick that day, too, so I had to sit there and watch it. This ridiculous match.
You mounted the TV on the ceiling because all you were doing is laying in bed, staring up.
Now, that like laying in bread like Brian Wilson did thing didn't happen for a couple of days. I was actually feeling okay at first. No, but I was laying on the couch watching. And I mean, it was so bad. There was a highlight package of his misses that came out afterwards. It was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, rarely has a striker played so poorly. You know, okay. I mean, like, this is, that's a very you know, from a fantasy perspective.
Okay, I mean, yeah, you can qualify that. Strikers have played poorly, but have decent strikers missed as many golden opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. And being a striker, you know, fantasy aside, it's, I mean, your runs, you know, there's sort of like, there's decoy runs and there's sort of drawing the attack away. And he's just so good at that kind of thing. And, you know, creating space for someone like Eden Hazard.
Yeah, he reminds me a little bit of Van Persie and his diagonal runs and his ability to beat the trap and link and balls over the top.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player and he had a really poor game. You know, it's tempting to drop him, you know, immediately. He may be my transfer this week. I may transfer him to Aguero. I don't really like doing that before the Leicester game because...
Yeah, Leicester followed by Brighton, Bournemouth, Watford, West Brom. Chelsea's run continues to be excellent.
It's a tough spot. I'm not sure what to do. as I've said so often this season, so I may just stay the course.
I can see a world in which he is a really strong character. I know he's a young man, a young professional, but he has strong character and says, you know what, got totally slagged off after the Arsenal game, I'm going to come back and prove all the haters wrong, and he just goes Harry Kane on Leicester or something like that. Totally. I can see that happening.
Leicester's defense is garbage, right? So it absolutely could happen.
They're not great. Harry Maguire just like trundling up the field with the ball, like he's Tom Brady or something like that. All right. Speaking of essential players, Jesse Lingard. Now, I told you before we started recording the podcast, I generally don't make transfers this early, but transfer for game week 23 already in the bag. Arnautovic, who I brought in for the double game week, gave me an assist. Thanks a lot. Goodbye. He got dumped at 75% for Jesse Lingard. I wanted to catch that price rise, that sweet 0.1 price rise. So here we are. I got a few questions about Jesse. Onan on Twitter asks, is Jesse Shingard, his spelling, not mine, Josh, just a fad that I have now brought in and will do nothing? Is he similar to Hazard? So do we think Jesse Shingard is just going to start trolling all of us now that we finally broke and brought him in? Or is he actually going to do an Aaron Ramsey a la, what was that, two seasons ago, where he just delighted for eons?
Well, he's not lacking for confidence right now, that's for sure.
These goals are peaches.
Yeah. He's in really confident form. He's really picking up the Lukaku slack. You know, like they just needed someone to put the ball on the frame.
Are you telling me that Lukaku started his own Patreon page and now has a Slack channel?
Yeah, that's what everybody's doing. Come on, man.
Lukaku finally got on board with the Slack. I like it.
I guess so. I mean, Lukaku, God, I haven't even it's amazing he's even come out. Like, he's so irrelevant right now.
It's kind of sad. It's kind of bumming me out. Even though it makes my FPL life a lot easier to not have to think about him, but it does bum me out.
It's just depressing. Yeah, I mean, over the holidays, Lukaku, I know he got injured in game week 21, but it was 2-2-1-0 his final four games.
Jeez, jeepers creepers.
Jeepers indeed.
So these goals that Jesse Lingard is scoring, they're pretty dope. So I'm all about it. As I've said, I brought him in, so let's make this happen.
They're dope goals. 6.3 million, very good price. That's an easy move from, was it Richarlison too, if you're finally sick of Richarlison's finishing.
Yeah, I did the like Pink Floyd prism thing where Richarlison had to go through the prism and become Arnautovic, and out the other side he became Jesse Lingard. And I hope that results in a platinum album.
And they're just about to play Stoke, who is it was managerless and has the worst defense in the league. So you could consider captaining Lingard this game week.
Why not? All right. Speaking of the double game week, we need to steer out of it. I got rid of my one West Ham player. Got a couple questions about West Ham on Slack. Danny Bean asks, do we need West Ham players given their great upcoming run? Also, DG Tipster on Twitter asks, Arnautovic and Son to Mahrez and Gross, or maybe Lingard? So we've already told you what to do with Lingard, DG, but we can talk about what we think about that move. So first off, What do you think about West Ham in general? I think you said at the top
of the
pod.
You don't need any West Ham players. They're not a very good team.
But if we brought him in for the double, are you going to immediately get rid?
No. I think if you have a defender, you might as well hold on to them. If you have Arnautovic, is he healthy then for sure? I mean, if he is, then yeah, I think you just hold on to Arnautovic for a while. He's been in really good form too. He's kind of like Lingard, you know. He's just sort of found his confidence all of a sudden.
Yeah, Moyes said in a press conference prior to the Spurs game that managers can pay all the lip service in the world, but he did say that Arnautovic is incredibly important to this team. He would be playing if he was fit, but he is not fit. I mean, Dinery has Arnautovic still listed at 75% with a tight hamstring. Tight hamstring could go anyway. He could be ready for game week 23, or he could not be. No promises.
All right, let's talk about.
What about this move, though?
I never know about these moves because it's like I don't have enough context on the rest of the team. But in theory, I don't know why you drop Sun right now.
Agreed.
I guess. Yeah, I don't think I'd make either of those moves, actually. Yeah. I would.
Gross in particular has not been very appealing of late.
Yeah.
I mean, he got one return a couple weeks ago, but he's been so quiet.
Yeah, Arnautovic to Lingard is fine, especially with that Stoke fixture.
Yeah, hey, the greatest managers around him are making that move, so it's cool.
All right, must-haves. Srinath Sports says, can we have your opinions on the must-have, one from each position, if on a wild card? Now, Brandon, I don't know that I'm going to call De Gea a must-have anymore. I'm feeling a little shakier about this Man United defense.
Yeah.
Is there a must-have defender right now? Or, I mean, goalkeeper? I'm not sure there is.
Must-have GK? No. I mean, even... There's so many ways to cover yourself in defense. It's like, do you have Nick Pope or do you have Ben Mee? You probably have one. Do you have De Gea or do you have Phil Jones? Do you have Courtois or do you have any number of Chelsea defenders?
I
tend to agree that there's probably not one concrete must-have, but if there is, by God, it's David De Gea. I mean, he had that shaky run for, it was three game weeks, starting with West Brom, and he's come back. Two clean sheets in a row against Southampton and Everton. What do their fixtures look like coming up? I mean, they've got Stoke and coming up in game week 23. I mean, a few hot spots here. Spurs in game week 25, Chelsea in game week 28, Liverpool 30, but
it's not bad.
It's not bad. So, yeah.
Okay, So De Gea or some Man United defender. I think Otamendi, I'd say, is great value. I think that he's someone that you might want to look at, even though Man United's fixtures, so they play Liverpool away. It's a pretty good run after that. They play Newcastle, West Brom, Burnley, Leicester. They do play Arsenal and Chelsea in late February, and that's also when the Champions League starts up again. So I don't know if you're looking long term. I just like him a lot at that price. I think I would pay the extra price for Alonso over Christensen. If I had to do that move again, I mean, that's just
a
season Rooney mistake for me, bringing in Azpilicueta over Alonso.
But speaking of price differences, going back to Otamendi real quick, John Stones is back, and he's 1.1 mil cheaper than Otamendi. Are you at all?
Yeah.
Are you at all convinced there with John Stones? I mean, I have every faith that Otamendi is still going to be really valuable for teams.
Yeah.
But if you have no City coverage in the defense and you're looking to get in, John Stones is going to be his nail.
Okay, that's fair. And he's, like you said, he's 5.4 million. He's only played the one game since he came back.
He had a bit of a howler in their FA Cup match. He basically gave Barnes that Burnley goal off with a really poor clearance. But beyond, I mean, it's a mistake. And Stones is a young player, and he's got a few in him. I think he'll be fine.
All right, and then Salah and Kane, right? Let's make that nice and easy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you throw in an honorable mention for Raheem Sterling, but, you know, we've already spoken about the spread of points around Man City's midfield, so take that for what it's worth. Okay, so last question in the lightning round comes down to chips, and I love this question coming out of the double game week because there were a lot of Twitter meltdowns for those who went for the triple cap on Harry Kane. We shied away from even the free hit chip on this podcast, but the logic was sound in terms of triple captaining Kane. The fixtures are right. I mean, I think you could definitely, I don't know that you really need hindsight to be like, well, two matches in 48 hours or 72, I guess you could call it.
The issue to me was that he was flagged for sickness, right? I mean, that he wasn't well. I mean, as someone who isn't it's even more like, you know, prominent in my mind, but you know, it was just the fact that far in advance, they were like, he is rough. Like, we don't know what he's going to be like in a few days.
He was like you, he probably had what you had, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was enough for me to be like, in no way, this guy's like, I just can't take this kind of risk. And so, you know, I mean, he came out and played what, 30 minutes, and I didn't think they'd risk him at all in that weather. I guess they just wanted to make sure they won the match.
It is truly, truly stunning, awful luck that he did play the ball of the game to Dele Alli on that first fixture of the double game week. And of course, Alli has to use the goalkeeper as a backboard to rob Kane of what would have been a beautiful
assist.
That
was nice. I have Kane and Alli. I had Kane, Alli, and Eriksson for this game week. So that match worked out reasonably well for me. I couldn't quite gauge how many like really serious managers triple captain Kane, but I felt like Kane was so widely captained that it didn't really bother me that much. You know, I was like, all right, fine, I'll take my unassisted.
I think I said that last week of, you know, everyone is going to, Kane will have 100% captaincy. So, you know, if you're going for individual score, sure, maybe.
I mean, ultimately wasn't that high, right? Because the quick turnaround. And I mean, I think he was landed up, he was ultimately captain only about like 25% of managers or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely like pissing off everyone who's listening to this right now who actually did play the trip cap. But okay, sure. So for the sake of people who are looking at other chips or still have their triple captain chip, Justin Dye asks, what would your guys' strategy be for using the chips going forward if you have all three? So we can say at the outset, the way it's worked the last couple of seasons with the chips is we've been able to bank on double game weeks. I mean, bank is perhaps a strong word, but we have a good chance of getting great double game weeks in 34 and 37. Now, you take into account that you can't play a wild card the same week as you play your triple captain or your bench boost. You're looking at playing a wild card 2 weeks ahead of 34 or 37, so you can play your bench boost or your triple captain going into 34 or 37. That's usually how we play it, right, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, although I think you could play your wild card even earlier than that, especially if you know what the double game weeks are going to be, or like have a likely idea of when they're going to be and who's going to be playing in them. I mean, I was able to do that really, really successfully last season. I think I played my wild card around game week 27, and I made up a ton of ground. I mean, I could have done it even earlier, actually.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just the thing to look at with bench boost or triple captain in either of those game weeks is which game week has the better triple captain choice.
Yeah, so it's way too early to tell too much about this. I do think that, you know, you should try to just, you know, you should be willing to take some risks. I mean, unless, you know, especially if you're in a money league where all the money's at the or if you're in a money league at all, you know, and all the money's at the top, then, man, like, don't chicken out, you know, like if you want to captain even this game week, you know, I really seriously thought about, you know, captaining someone like Christian Eriksen and, you know, and I just kind of chickened out at the last minute. And, you know, have the guts to like to triple captain into somebody who is a bit of a risk because it's probably not going to backfire that catastrophic.
I think I did see a Heung-Min Son triple cap out there somewhere, blanking on who it was. But
wow, that sweated that one out for 175 minutes.
But, you know, a little gift there at the end of that West Ham game for you. All right, so let's round out the podcast, Josh, with our Game Week 23 preview. So you did something a bit risky We haven't really talked about this. You moved Mo Salah out of your team to play that double game.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, it's once again, the price prediction stuff is just completely off this year. And, you know, Mo Salah has been dropped by like 700,000 managers and has not seen a single price change. And so I was banking on probably losing about 0.3. And I just thought 0.3 was enough for me to just try to make up some ground. It ultimately, I mean, I did gain more points than I would have had if I hadn't played him or if I hadn't made the move. It was enough to win our head-to-head this week. But, yeah, now I've got to bring him basically straight in and at a loss of probably something like 0.4, which is just super annoying. But you know, it is what it is. I don't want to, like, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to stubbornly resist bringing him back in. I may wait until after the Man City fixture, but he'll certainly be back in my squad before the Swansea away match.
So who are you looking to move for him? So Eriksen and Ali?
Yeah, one of those two. I've got $2.2 million in the bank, so it's an easy move either way.
Okay. All right.
I thought it out, you know. I mean, it wasn't like totally, you know, there was a plan, but whatever.
Yeah, the thing I hated most about the double game week is we saw Kevin De Bruyne stretchered off at the end of Palace, and I was hanging out with our good friend Trevor at the time, and I remember screaming at him like, "Look what they did to my beautiful baby boy!" And everyone knows how much I love KDB this FPL season, and it really pained me to drop him from my team. But it was that ceremony of his leg getting strapped up and him getting stretchered off for no apparent reason, because he was totally fine and came back and played a really stellar game in game week 22. But that was all I needed to say I'm dropping him, and I brought in Christian Eriksen for the double. So I've already moved Arnautovic to Lingard, and now I have the funds to get my beautiful baby boy back. So KDB, it'd be ridiculous for me to burn four just to get baby boy back. So I think that might be my move going into game week 24, just to set things straight, is to move Eriksen back to KDB next week. But right now, bus team, I've got the armband set on Harry Kane, playing at home against Everton. Kane did score a brace in the FA Cup. I guess it was yesterday, on Sunday, that they played, or something like that. So even though he blanked in the double, Kane is again scoring goals. He only scores goals in bunches. He doesn't score single exactly. goals in games. He just scores two goals, three goals.
Yeah. I've got the armband on Kane right now myself. I think I may go Morata to Aguero this game week, but I'm a little on the fence. I may just move Salah right back in. I may just not play any games and just and then I just have to decide whether I want to keep Ali or Eriksen. It's kind of a tough call, actually.
That is a tough one. They've basically become a real. I think it was last season. It was kind of an either or. You could get Ali or Eriksen.
Yeah, but Eriksen was playing pretty far back the last couple matches. But then he's on all those free kicks. You know, so as for the games themselves, there's no early match. I just realized.
Yeah, we get to sleep in New York.
We get to sleep in the state and make our transfers late if we want.
Late transfers, how luxurious. I'll actually be in New Orleans during this game week in the Big Easy. If we have any listeners down there in NOLA, let us know. Hit us up.
Yeah. So looking at Saturday, Brandon, a ton of Saturday fixtures. It looks like a couple matches stick out to me. One is Chelsea-Leicester. If I keep Morata, I'll be really interested to see how he responds in this match. The other one is Newcastle-Swansea, and DeAndre Yedlin, back-to-back clean sheets since I brought him in.
Your one bright spot during this transfer torrent of bad transfers.
He and Otamendi, actually. My defender transfers have worked out okay. Yeah. And Yedlin, I kind of brought him in for this three-match run, and so he's delivered clean sheets in two of the last three. He actually laid a ball on a platter to Atsu in the last match, too, and he really should have scored. I'd be curious to see how it seems like Newcastle's played a little bit better. So it'd be interesting to see how that match plays out. And then the late game on Saturday is Spurs Everton. I'm probably going to captain Kane myself.
Yeah, it just seems like a game week to not overthink things. I think we all, our brains got fried during that festive period. So despite us talking about not taking risks, I'm just feeling like this is, game week 23 is not a fancy week.
It's not the one. I don't know. But then you worry about Sam, like, just setting up, like, arch-conservatively, too.
He could. I mean, that's true. This, yeah. He is persisting with this ludicrous earpiece that looks like it's from, like, the year 2004. Like, what?
It's like Gene Hackman in a conversation. Yeah, it's, like, exactly. It's ridiculous. Then what about Sunday? We've got Bournemouth, Arsenal. I don't even know what to say about that match. Nothing good.
No, right? not terribly interested in that.
Liverpool, Man City. Now that is a fun match.
My God. I mean, just the thought of this match makes you, gets you all funny, feeling funny inside. Funny things. I don't know what to predict. I feel like
Same.
I mean,
I think Man City are going to win. I think they're going to win pretty easily, actually. I think they win like 3-1.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Liverpool are a great squad. They score freely, but they just haven't been on it, like, with the big games this season.
Yeah, this game was really fun. The first half of the season, this was the game that was really exciting until Mane ran into Ederson.
And
His foot went through his face. I still think that was an accident, but...
he took his face off.
He had to give the red card. So I do think Man City win that. And then Monday is Man United Stoke.
Yeah, and that's really all you have to say about that. That is just De Gea clean sheet watch for us. Like, pray that Shaqiri doesn't decide to show up for this game for some apparent reason.
All right, well, that's your lot. Thank you for getting through this podcast with us. I'm still a little under the weather, so if it felt a little low energy, that's on me. We'll be back stronger next week. Stronger together, right, Brandon?
Absolutely. Boston strong.
Boston strong. All right, everybody. Good luck this weekend. Hit us up if you want to play Starting 11. Find us on Twitter. We're twitter.com/HailCheaters. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/AlwaysCheating.
Subscribe to the pod on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review if you like the podcast. We really appreciate that. And Josh, help me name my team. The Flint City Patriots are going to be retired.
This team.
They're going to the Hall of
Fame.
Name
that team. Name that team. All right, B. Yep. Have fun in New Orleans.
Okay. Good luck, everyone. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.